Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got a few of the bad boys here with me, like Simon Street. How you doing, brother?
Just remember what you say or what you do, because the streets are watching.
Absolutely. Matt Michaels.
I'm kind of feeling like I want to put on a little sexy negligee for you, DJ.
Oh, please
wow.
Don't. Please
wow. Don't. The bro love here is just so strong.
Please don't, Matt.
Nothing wrong with a little lingerie.
Well, you know what? Let's get into our guest. I think you maybe want to see her in her lingerie.
Nope.
I know I would.
Nope.
Instead of seeing you. What's up?
No sword fighting?
No sword fighting. On our phone, we have the Lingerie Football League All-Star and current LFC competitor, Ty Emery. How are you, Ty?
G'day, gang. How are ya?
Good.
Oh, good.
Yay! So, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, not a problem. Thank not you, bad a problem.
Boys. Yes.
So
thank
you know what?
Bad boys.
That's right.
We are the bad boys.
We are bad boys.
Really bad boys in need of
can't
major
you
punishment.
Be the naughty boys?
We could be naughty boys
naughty
too.
Boys.
Naughty boys.
Be naughty boys.
Naughty boys.
I've been a naughty boy.
Naughty boys. I like how that sounds. Naughty boys. So, as being a naughty boy that I am, let's get right into it. You know, Ty, I hear that you are a big D&D fan. Like, big D&D.
D&D.
Dunkin'
Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. I knew you was going to get it. I knew you was going to get it. That's right. That's right.
You do a call out. Yes.
So,
hello. $2. $2 for a coffee between 2 and 6 p.m. And yep. Everybody loves double D's, no matter what it is, from
this
Dunkin'
is
Donuts
true.
All the way through.
This is true.
Everyone loves a good double D.
Absolutely.
So, what is your favorite thing other than cup of coffee to get at Dunkin' Donuts? What's your thing?
I like those little jam balls. I love the balls.
You love the
yummy
balls. They are pretty good. Tasty, quick on the run. You can
tasty,
just pick one out.
Lightly toasted. Yep.
Yeah.
Put it right in my mouth.
There you go.
Delicious. And croissants. I love croissants.
There's finally someone who said they love the jam balls, and Lucky's not even here.
Yeah.
I know, right?
One of our other podcast mates loves... Oh,
He loves himself some jam balls, too.
Yeah, he likes jam balls, but see, the thing is, he also
when
loves
fresh,
to...
I like the jam
he loves it. He loves it fresh. He loves the jam fresh. He said he likes putting things in his mouth that the jelly goes into his mouth. We won't get into that, but he loves it. He loves it.
Favorite pastime. So many good memories.
So speaking of that, what was it like growing up in Australia?
Shit, it was good, mate. Honestly, compared to like since being over here, I'm so thankful. Like, I had such a different sort of upbringing. I was on my bicycle in my hometown. We could ride like anywhere and everywhere. I grew up with seeing kangaroos like in the house, being around other native wildlife, living in the and camping on the beach for like 8 week periods. During Easter breaks and getting chased by king brown snakes, seeing dugongs. Hell, I got to do it all in Australia.
It's one of my favorite experiences I've ever had in my life was spending a couple of weeks there. And just like you said, the beach life is just fantastic. So nice.
Yeah.
And
beach is our zone.
No, I was going to say, and everyone there is so... unbelievably polite.
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah, unlike you know,
you rude bastards.
Yeah,
no, we are. Thank you. That's nice to hear. Good to hear that everyone's keeping it well for everyone back home. What else did you experience?
Well, you know, we were lucky. Me and my buddy, we went. We had an itinerary planned through a game show that I won the trip on. And yeah, it was, you know, it was one of these things where we were going to spend 1 week in Sydney and 1 week in Cairns. And so we get, you know,
I lived in Cairns.
Really?
I ran my electrical contracting business in Cairns. Shout out to the MD Can Do Boys in Cairns, Queensland, Australia. I've been there, so that's like tourist capital.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's tourist capital. That's a great place.
And I was just telling him a story because Simon just went out on a boat for the first time.
Yes.
So when we were there, it was the start of the winter season, basically, and there was a huge storm, and we were going to the Great Barrier Reef to snorkel. And first of all, gorgeous, and shame on anyone who thinks that the reef isn't dying, because it's, you know,
the reef is definitely dying.
Exactly.
I swam over it. You can feel it in the water. Like, it gets eerie, and then all of a sudden the coral goes from being beautiful and having fish to just white and dead, and there's nothing around.
Damn.
So yeah.
Damn.
Oh well.
But,
oh well.
You know, it was such a fabulous little town. And we're lucky because in Sydney, we had a couple of years earlier, we had met a couple of girls who were vacationing here, and we worked at Universal Studios. So my buddy we were both tour guides, and he had given them a tour, and then they wanted to hang out later on. So we, you know, hung out, took them to one of the clubs down on the strip, and, you know, had a good time. So they returned the favor when we went to Australia, and, you know, we went to a whole bunch of different bars, had a lot of drinks, had a lot of good food, did karaoke in a sushi joint. It was just spectacularly fun. Walked around Sydney. That's the other thing too. Like you're saying, like riding the bikes, or, you know, you just do a lot of walking because it's so easy to get around.
Yeah. That's because we all walk in Australia. Nobody will walk. People will park their car for 5 minutes just to get a close enough park so they don't have to walk so far till they get their groceries made.
Oh, hell. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll park my car. Like, if I have to park my car, like, a couple feet away from my garage door, you know, and then I'm like, oh, this is hell.
Yeah, America.
Well. Well, what's kind of crazy is, you know, one of these years I'm going to go and have a go at Australia. But I got to be honest with you. There's really not much that Simon Street fears except one thing. And that's snakes. And y'all have the nation of snakes, there. And so
I love them.
I had to shoot
a taipan in the head once.
Whoa.
Where the jet skis were. And we had to pull out the rifle. Anyway, the guy I was with, he was chucking shots, but it wasn't killing it. And I was getting pissed because this snake is, like, in pain. And we've got to put it down. Anyway, I grabbed the rifle, poof, straight through the middle of its fucking head.
What?
It head back and, like, sizzles up in the sky. I remember thinking, oh, my God, this thing just won't die. Like, I shot it in the head, like, perfect shot.
I'd have been like, I think it's dead. I think it's dead now.
You would have been squealing.
Well, and see, that's just the thing. So when I go out there, you know, it sucks because I'm a person that when I visit anywhere, I want to go out off the beaten path. But unfortunately, in Australia, maybe I'm saying this ignorantly, everything is kind of telling you, leave me the F alone or I'm going to freaking kill you. So what would you suggest? Should I get a guy that's going to shoot or yourself to shoot a taipan in the goddamn head so that way I don't die on the spot?
Well, I guess it depends where you're going. If you're going to go to Brisbane and you want the real off-beaten track, I would have a couple of my mates, Collar the Dogs, that's his Instagram, if you want to check it out, I'd have you go on a hunt with him. That's like probably the most Australian thing you can get. That's just wildlife, like wild boar hunting.
Okay.
Wow. That's off the beaten. That's like 100% off the beaten track. That you'll see real Australia, which won't be anything. Like, there won't be any clubs. It'll be a pub in the middle of nowhere. That'll have a lot of good stories under the roof, though.
Oh man!
All right. I can do that. So, what's the nightlife like? I mean, you know,
Fabulous.
And one thing I can say about nightlife, it doesn't matter where you fucking are in the world, it's still the same shit.
Same shit.
Like, it's a fancy bar, there's a heap of good-looking people in their best clothes, trying to put on their best behavior. Like, I don't know. I think Vegas has got some good clubbing compared, you know, and then we hit back to Australia. Sydney would definitely have some great clubs because they got a lot of their ideas from Vegas, from, like, a lot of the sister clubs. So if that's, like, your type of scene, then Sydney. Gold Coast, you've got, like, a good little strip down there. I would check out the local place called Elsewhere. That's where I used to party when I lived in Gold Coast. That's the locals, like, a lot of, like, locals, local talent kind of goes there as well. I don't know. The rest is, I don't know, like, really every town, it doesn't matter where you go, there's a club, you know?
Yeah, it's true at this point. So another thing that I love to do, too, is I love to eat some of the weirdest shit you can think of from any country I visit.
Weird shit.
So
you can eat sheep balls in Australia.
Sheep balls. All right, so sheep balls.
Sure, Lucky would like those, too.
He might. I mean, because if you chew in them, there might be something to gush out. So,
then you can follow that by jam balls, just so you can finally have that flavor in your mouth.
Mm. He'd like that. He'd be like, it tastes like gushers. So what would you say?
Yeah, I've seen that.
So what would you say in addition to, you know, jam balls and sheep balls? Because I will not be putting those balls in my mouth. But in addition to that, what's some weird shit that I could eat that I could go back to America and tell them, like, look, I was brave and I ate this. And it tasted either...
Like chicken.
Yeah, like chicken. Because everything tastes like chicken.
For real. Everything does. You can eat crocodile. You can eat emu. You can eat kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Yeah, you can eat kangaroo. You can have that minced up, sausage-like, filleted. You can eat all three of those however you want. I think those are the three main ones that kind of get a bit weird. That if, maybe itchy grubs, which comes from the native Aboriginals.
Okay.
You got all the itchy grubs. You could probably eat a heap of that. If you wanted to go real, like, crazy, you'd probably go and eat a heap of native food with the Aboriginals of Australia.
Okay. I'd be down for that.
One of the fascinating...
They'd be eating...
Oops. Oh, no, go ahead.
They'd be eating what? Uh-oh.
Well, hello?
Yeah. What would they be eating? Because we cut you off right there. I wanted to hear that last part.
Oh, a lot of it's all just insects. They get their protein from insects.
Oh, from grubs and stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat that. I'm down with that.
One of the most interesting things that I really found desirable was when you'd order a burger and you'd get the fried egg and beetroot on it.
Yum. You don't do that here.
They don't do that here, but I've done it myself because it's, like, so damn good.
What's beetroot?
Yeah, it is good. It's the best. Did you have a runny egg, and did you put a pineapple on it as well, like a pineapple fritter?
No, I know we had runny egg, but no, the pineapple I wasn't aware of.
Oh my gosh, I'm hungry so much right now. You just brought back, like, all these memories of me, like, as a back probably when I was playing LFL. A lot of us on the Friday night after training, I think there was Thursday nights after training, we'd be going and getting these burgers, which was like walking distance. None of us would wear shoes, and we'd be getting these burgers that had the runny egg and the beetroot. Oh, I miss Australia.
So what got you into LFL? Like, what was that like? Just one day you just decided, you know what? I'm pretty strong. I'm drop dead gorgeous. Why not just go ahead and get into this? I mean, like, what was your story getting to that?
Okay. Honestly, I did wake up just one day and I was like, oh, damn, I'm really pretty. Oh, shit, I'm really strong and I like to hit stuff. And then the girl I was living with took me down to training. She was already a tight end on the team. And really, that's it. She took me down. They threw the football in my hands, and I just fucking went for it, mate. Like, I just thought, fuck this. I'm not happy. For some reason, coming here tonight made me so happy just getting into tackling drills and, you know, getting back into sprinting on the field and just feeling strong and good. And At the time, I was a thermographer. So, yeah, it all just kind of happened literally from just waking up one morning and thinking those exact same thoughts that you just said.
Wow. So, you know, having that time, you know, with the league, you know, what are some of the more interesting things that, you know, maybe going in, you didn't really quite think it was going to be that way, but, you know, as you start going along, you're like, wow, like, this is crazy. This is starting to get pretty big. Like, was there anything that you kind of just had that moment where you're like, wow, like, this is crazy. I'm doing this.
Honestly, I don't know if I had that moment until I was in Guatemala when I'd made the All-Star team. Because I kind of, I love doing all the media, and I love, like, getting to get to experience, like, doing podcasts and, you know, speaking on the news. But outside of that, I try to, like, just stay kind of just so focused on my training that I can stay kind of blank and oblivious to some of the stuff. But it wasn't until, like, yeah, I was in Guatemala, I made the All-Star team, so I'd come from my Australian, like, the playing days into America. And it wasn't, yeah, until we kind of got off the plane and all these Guatemalans just come flying up and they're taking photos and they're asking for autographs. Like, I just remember thinking, what the hell? I remember one of the girls I was with was, like, ordering, like, M&Ms, and I remember seeing them going, I bet you this bitch gets them to pick out the green and blue ones. And she did. She said, and I only want the red and green ones. And I was like, damn it, I was wrong in color. I was so pissed. But, you know, I just remember thinking, I guess that means I've made it if I'm around some, you know, if we're at the level where someone beside me is picking out the M&M colors, you know. I guess that was a small moment of going, I guess we've made it, and I feel like we're pieces of shit. Like, but it was fun. It was still fun. Like, it was just a different sort of moment where I guess I could kind of laugh at it. I just thought it was funny. But, yeah, there's probably been a few moments like that. Just getting on the news, maybe being on the news in my home country. I think that, you know, everyone watches the morning show in Australia. So I guess when you've got all your friends and family from, you know, knowing you since you're 5 all the way through to 20, I think I was 26 at the time, every single person being like, oh, shit, see you on the news. That, yeah, people just go, that makes you think, oh, okay, I'm definitely doing something here. Got to be making people feel good.
Definitely, definitely. So, you know, in your travels, I'm pretty sure you have come across just some of the creepiest, thirstiest guys ever. Because, I mean, for the listeners that's listening, like, she is gorgeous and powerful. If you've seen her, like you see that she ain't playing around. So you better wash your damn mouth, especially if you got a glass jaw, because she'll knock your ass out. But, you know,
you must
run into some of the creepiest little bastards ever that are just, you know, they seeing you and they shoot the shot. What is some weird stuff you've heard guys do? Like, maybe some devotional on the spot weird shit.
Holding posters of me and holding flowers and then, like, being on their knees saying that they'd just finished sailing a boat for 14 hours to see me.
Wow. That's devotion. 14 hours?
That's because that was devotional, because they had the flowers and the poster, you know? So I figured that's probably the most... That's a shrine, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much a shrine. It's pretty much a shrine. What was your reaction? That's, I mean, did you react to them and tell them, like, yo, no? or did you, like, be nice?
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, thank you so much. And I just tried to be, honestly, I just tried to be as nice as possible. These people, like, obviously take their time to do that. And say, sometimes it does, like, take its toll on me, the creepiness of people. But I still just try to be, like, nice, just because you think, well, what else can I fucking do? And the shrine, I don't know, for someone to be able to do that, hey, that takes courage for someone to be like, hey, I'm one of your fans. Like, that's nice. Like, that takes courage to do that.
A lot of courage.
At least he didn't live under my house. I've had a guy do that before.
You had a guy live under your house?
No, I'm not even kidding, bro.
What?
So you can ask. Someone get a contact, Ian Drewitt. I worked for him for Drewitt Electrical during my apprenticeship. Uh-huh. So I lived next door to their house, and it was like this old Queenslander, right? So you could see through the gaps of the floor. Anyway, one day we're stripping cable, because you can take the copper in and cash her in. And my boss is like, who the fuck is moving all this shit back in? Anyway, anyway, someone had moved all these palings and pulled the palings off the side of the house and was getting in, and they were watching me sleep and watching me work out and watching me shower, and we had no idea. So that one wasn't devotion, you know?
Wow.
That one was just straight creep. So I've had, like, I labeled them all, even down to the ones where you're just like, okay, this guy's just trying to play me. Motherfucker, I'm about to grab his balls in the next 24 hours. And fucking choke his neck.
Damn. The way you said grab his balls, like, does not sound pleasurable at all. It sounds very painful.
You felt that.
I felt what that possibly could feel like, but don't want to really physically feel that.
Yeah, now he literally has jam balls.
Yeah, I would have jam balls at that point. Yes, I would.
Damn, I try to leave everyone with blue balls.
I don't think they would be called blue balls. It'd be like bruised balls.
Bruised balls.
Inoperable man piece now.
Inoperable. Damn. No, yeah, so I've had levels of creepy on, man, I've had levels of creepy on everything. Like, everything.
Wow. I'm still comprehending the fact that someone actually was living under a house.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It's creepy as shit.
Yeah, for real. I don't know how long, but I would do Pilates, like, so I was an apprentice electrician at the time. I was modeling. That's when I was in, like, Ralph Magazine, Zoom Magazine. So my downtime was just keeping fit because, you know, stay ready, shoot ready. And so I'd be like doing Pilates on the mat on the ground. My sister used to come in and I'd like have passed out on the ground. So this, I don't know. I just think about that stuff and just think this person's like, you know, just there breathing you. I think that shit's weird as shit.
That's super creepy. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing really can get me from now on. You know, once you've just had the lowest levels of creepiness, everything from there on in is kind of just like all of a sudden just filtered and becomes nothing.
So when let's go back to football.
From one ball to the next.
Yeah, exactly.
Good choice.
Were you familiar with the concept of football and the rules and everything, or
American football? Maybe not.
Okay.
No. Is that what you mean? American football?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'd never even played American football. I'd maybe like watched a little bit of it through the movies, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But so learning American football was a whole new game. Lucky for me, I only made defense. So, you know, obviously my role's pretty easy, find the ball, smash. So I was pretty lucky. You know, I got to start learning plays, and we all had to know the playbook anyway, so that, you know, you could, if you could at least know the offense, when you're reading from defense, it made it a little bit easier because you kind of knew certain routes that positions may choose to play, if that makes sense. I liked it in that regard. But my whole life, I played Australian football, national football, and yeah, rugby union. So that's what I grew up playing.
Rugby is such a freaking amazing sport, too.
Well, we have the rugby sevens that come out here.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas. Yeah, we've got some.
It's about the closest we get.
Yeah, but there's nothing.
Do you
like...
guys go and eat meat pies?
No.
You know they sell meat pies there. You have to do that next time.
Really?
You have to have a beer, and they sell the meat pies. They're meant to. Be selling the 4 and 21, which is like every tradesman in Australia, like every person in Australia will eat a meat pie with them.
Well, I'm going to definitely do that. I'm going to eat a meat pie and have me a beer. Sounds good to me.
You have to.
Why are you it's laughing? Like, it's when I say meat pie, Michaels is looking at me like, oh, you want to eat a meat pie?
What does that mean in American? Everything I say here is just turned sexual.
Look,
and I have no idea what's going on.
I have no idea what Michaels is thinking right now. We were having a conversation about eating meat pies. So I assumed a meat pie is a food that someone prepared that would taste great paired with a beer. Michaels is looking at, you know what? I think you have him stuck in the mind from, you know, the whole grabbing the balls and like jam balls. Might have to give him a moment.
No, I'm totally good. I wanted to actually move on to the beer portion of the meat pie and beer. What is your favorite go-to Australian beer?
4X.
Okay.
That's the Queensland beer.
I I personally, we found Tui's to be our favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
You love Tui's? Isn't that New Zealand?
Well, you know what? The funniest thing is that everywhere we were going, Tui's was like prominent.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, damn. Don't get me wrong. I mean, 4X is good. I mean, you know, a good beer is a good beer, but it was, yeah. You know, and maybe it was contractual at that time too, because it's been, you know, quite a few years, but
yeah,
you know, what was upsetting to us is we could get the beer imported here. And then at some point there was something with the, I don't know if it was trade tariffs or something where they stopped importing it.
Oh
yeah, like
you wonder why the change?
Yeah, which really actually kind of disturbed me because I'm like, did like people
die?
Does
that mean something like with food? Does that mean there was something in that doesn't pass for American standards? Because usually that's why.
Right, that's what I was thinking too, and I'm like, oh shit, were we?
Yeah,
were we drinking? You know, koala blood or something?
No, koala blood? Is that a thing? Genuinely endangered. We would never do that to our right. koalas. Or maybe that's why.
Yeah.
That's sickened. And all I see is like this poor little blinky bill like on a drip making Tui's beers. Fuck.
So Taya, you know, I'm looking right now and it seems like you have like a pretty strong background with it looks like boxing and mixed martial arts. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. So right now I'm working with Christian Steele out of Atlanta Fight House.
Okay.
Honestly, I love boxing. I think when I first started getting into MMA, I was just trying everything, just trying to see like what sort of adapted. And it wasn't until I just started, someone kind of brought into focus that I needed to just choose a couple and just stick with it. And then I started reading into like what the Maori people, which I'm half native New Zealand. Okay. So I started looking into what the native Maoris used to train in, and their three subjects at school was like basket weaving, boxing, and wrestling. So instantly I was like, okay, well, we're going to have see what comes out with through the genetics. So I just, you know, I chose boxing, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu for my MMA, I guess, school to attend to. But, yeah, so really I got into it because of something that I read with genetics. And I love Mike Tyson. I love how that man moves. I think that's savage, you know. I think that's something sort of explosive, and it's a little bit more adaptive coming from football to be able to look at those sorts of movements as well.
What was your experience like doing an LFC match?
An LFC? Dude, I got to go to one for Lauren for an LFC, for the LFC. I haven't fought for the LFC yet. They do keep wanting me to every week. Every week they're harping on me to get in there. I went there and was with Lauren, the Animal Fogel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's my teammate. She's the strong safety, so she's coming from LFL. We're both in the Las Vegas SIN. So she was the one who's competing in the LFC.
Are you considering it? Because I know they're definitely I know they're pursuing you. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, they're really persistent, and it's kind of hard to say no just for something that's kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
They've got another MMA chick, Cindy Dindoys. I hope I'm saying her name right. She's one of Misha Tate's friends. She looks like Cinderella. They're trying to get her from MMA into fighting for them too. I told them I had to turn pro first, and then I would.
There you go.
I would.
There you go.
I do want to, because I'm trying to put a good outfit together. I want it to be mean and kind of like Catwoman.
Oh, there you go.
So speaking of Catwoman, I sense that you may be into comics at some point.
Yes, I love... Dude, I love comic books even now.
Okay.
At some point.
So are you a...
since I was a kid.
Okay. So are you DC or Marvel or a little bit of both?
I'm Marvel. I think... Yeah, I'm mainly Marvel. Honestly, I'm mainly Marvel. Catwoman a little bit different, but I'm mainly a Marvel girl.
Okay. So what's your favorite Marvel character, you would have to say?
Rogue. I love Rogue.
You know what? I have to stop you there because I was thinking about, I was looking at your picture and I was trying to think in my head, who would she probably pick? And I thought of Rogue, like beautiful. Every person wants to kiss you, but there's a price because you're going to get your soul sucked.
And it still is like that.
Oh, sucking more souls than Shang-Chung in Mortal Kombat, but it's okay.
Oh, I love Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay. Have you played the new one at all?
No, I haven't. Oh, I haven't played the new one.
You got to play
the new one. I actually only just the other night played Street Fighter, like, but the old school. Like, it was one in an arcade.
Oh.
I played one of those. Like, classic.
Awesome.
And how was that experience in terms of what video games are now to playing the...
I think I enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. The simplicity.
More, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I didn't even laugh at the graphics at all. I was just sucked in, and that was the storyline, and that was it.
Well, that's kind of the funny. It's funny you say that because that's my experience as well. I mean, they call it retro gaming, but there's been times where I think because we grew up playing those games or being exposed to those games, we don't look at, you know, the graphic fidelity or anything like that. But if you ask the younger people, they're like, oh, that's cute. And be like, nah, this
was
the thing.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like, we spent
quarters. They can't even see it.
Yeah, yeah. They can't see it. And they don't understand.
They use their imagination.
Exactly.
So
just squint.
Squint really hard and to get sharp.
What are your goals professionally, and what are your goals personally within the next coming, handful of years? Where do you see yourself going?
All right. So I've got a visa in America until March 2022. So I, at least for the next few years, I'm completely determined on using the visa for MMA, which is why I was given it for my potential in sport. So professionally, I plan on being turning pro with MMA. I would like to do that maybe in the next year, dependent on how the camp's going and how my body is running and I guess how that experiment all in itself is going. And I just, I want to see how that kind of plays out. I want to be able to continue to push myself and push my limits and just see where my mind will allow my body to go, because really that's the main thing and that reaches into personally. Being able to evolve and be able to heal myself and, just be a happy sort of person within my own mind. I think, that evolution of myself is also getting deeper and deeper with mixed martial arts. And the further I'm learning and the further I'm being able to control my body and my breath, the more I'm being able to control my mind and being able to be at peace at times. And fuck, isn't that just like something, one little slice of heaven that we can have and bring ourselves? But that's really both my personal goals and I guess my career goals do kind of come hand in hand, just because, I did get this 5 years to be, just to throw it all out there. So why not go 110%? I've got a trade, I've got all these other, qualifications that are kind of backing me up. I have no doubt eventually, how I was at the Moncrieffer, I know that will eventually lead into some of the body work that I do when I work with a few athletes with Infinite CBD and a lot of like stretching and yoga work with the guys. Eventually all these things will just be able to sew back in together. But right now I'm really just, I'm so excited. Every day I get to train. Every day I'm living like a gypsy and somehow just having to have faith in, that I'm making the right choices and that I'm working hard enough. But I see myself in the next few years. That's my goal. I want to be able to make it big and just be able to pat myself on the fucking back and just flip the bird off to everyone that, really kind of empowered me along the way. And by empowering, sometimes that was just being shut on, but fuck.
Yeah.
You just kept going. So fuck them. And my fucking journey has just been awesome because of it. So I think my personal and professional, I think they kind of end up mixing in because I'm not someone who's ever not done what I say I'm going to do. And I'm not someone who's been able to just live simply. And that's not to say that I don't think someone else's life is sucky, or and by no means. I just want people to be happy. But for myself, you know, things were never enough. And I've always had people so frightened going, oh, you're just so crazy going after these crazy dreams. And, you know, here I am and I'm still going after these crazy dreams. And, you know, it's those same people, you know, 7 years later who are messaging going, damn, you did it. And you're like, yeah, I know. Fucking did it. You know, you're like, yeah, it wasn't easy, but it, you know, it's just consistent work. So yeah, I think that's just kind of how things are playing out. I'm just, you know, seeing where it goes. I think the fight life kind of chooses you, and I'm just trying to see where it kind of all plays out to. I think it's exciting. I think, you know, how fun is it going to be to break another stereotype? I can be super sexy and I'm going to fuck your shit up too. Like, how cool. Like, I think that's what some, you know, win or lose, baby. People are going to want to see that.
Absolutely.
Well, I can definitely say, you know, hearing your story and your passion definitely is much positive vibes and prayers your way, with almost the expectation that it's just only a matter of time before you meet your goals. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just how it is. Consistency over time brings results, so.
And, you know, if you're getting close to the end of the visa and you need, you know, a little more time, just let me know. I'm totally down for the visa marriage. Nothing expected. Just a visa marriage.
90-day fiance, huh?
There you go. There you go. Shot is shot. Go, Matt.
I'm familiar with that show.
And that, guys, is also how we see them shoot their shot.
There you go. Shoot your shot, but don't blow your load.
No.
So,
oh, gosh.
So real quick, before we start getting close toward the end, there's a segment that we have, which is called the oh shit moment. And because you've already shared us some great stories, I want you to think of like one of your craziest, most just totally left field stories where you experienced something that just left you utterly only saying, oh shit.
Oh man. God, there's so many years.
and it doesn't have to be, it could be anywhere. It doesn't matter what it was, any walk of life.
Damn. I guess my first oh shit moment, and all I could do was, I was up in Cairns and I was an electrician and I was fitting off this oven, and it was in a hostel and it was a fancy place, like it was a fancy bakery, mate. And when we went inside, I mean, there was like 30 people living all up in this, like, it was some crazy shit. Obviously something wasn't right if they're building a bakery and there was like all these people living inside. And this switchboard was like big fuck off huge. Anyway, I'm fitting this oven off and a young kid went down and put the circuit breaker back in and I got electrocuted.
Oh,
what? And that's probably my first real oh shit, because I couldn't do anything about it as a kid.
Oh my gosh.
Man. Yikes. Oh, that's not pleasant by any means.
So did you go unconscious from it, or did you just like totally like just...
No, lucky it was only a 6 mil, so it just fucking went through my finger. And I understand what the feeling, how they say it goes through your arm and just straight across from the heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They say that, you know, usually electricity comes through your right hand. You're going to blow off either your toes, or you're going to blow off your other fingers.
True.
Because it, you know, and wants an exit point. So, yeah, for me, I just felt it kind of run. And I must have, I don't know what else I was holding, but it must have dissipated somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. Thankfully it did. Soul. You'd have lost, your toe.
Your soul.
Straight in there.
Cool.
No, yeah, that's probably my own shit moment.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
How do you guys think of this stuff?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
Go blank in the head. That's the first time I've gone, damn, I don't even know what to say.
Well, I'll be honest with you. If just for me personally, I make tons of people go blank in the head because I come up with the craziest left field shit. Like these guys will tell you. Sometimes they don't know what to make of me. Like, what the hell is this guy talking on about?
And then the rest of us are blanking the head anyway. Yeah, so it just kind of
yeah,
that's true.
That's good. Is that how I got chosen? They're like, she also is blank in the head. Come forth. Join us.
So, and as far as your social your social media is concerned, what is your handles?
My handle is just TAI_EMERY.
Ah.
Just my name. That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Awesome, awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for your time, Ty.
Yeah, thank you so much.
you've made it. DJ is tongue-tied a little
bit. He is very much tongue-tied. Maybe you should like...
Did I say enough weird stuff?
No. It's just not that. I think his balls need to be grabbed.
Oh, here we go.
Jelly balls.
Ty, thank
you. People have no idea.
Thank you for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Definitely.
Cheers.
All right, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Sin City Steve.
Well.
Mm-hmm. And that guy over there named King Lucky.
Without question, I'm ready to rumble.
Mm-hmm. And that other guy over there named Matt Michaels.
Mbop. Bop my umbop. Diddy wop. Mm-hmm. Umbop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Starting to forget the lyrics, aren't you? Look, we have a special a guest on the phone with us. She's an actor, a model, producer, bodybuilder, performs in MMA, and a part of the Lingerie Fighting Championship. Vegas Bad Boy welcomes Jen Rep.
Ooh, hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Awesome.
The real deal, Jen Rep, all the way from Canada.
That's right.
Good to talk to you guys.
That's so cool. So
watch what you say.
Yeah.
I know, right?
So you were born in Canada. Let's just kick it off right away. Did you ever have any interest? You know, Canada is known for sports. You got hockey, lacrosse, wrestling, and basketball as of late. Were you ever interested in any one of those sports growing up?
So I pretty much played all of those sports.
Whoa.
Growing up. Like, little known fact, actually, people think hockey is Canada's national sport, but it is not. It is lacrosse.
That's right.
It was a Native American form of war. And so they'd play games and people would die. Yeah, like, it was crazy. It's a fun sport, though. Love it. But yeah, I've been like an athlete my whole life. I grew up with an older brother and a younger brother and sister. So we would, you know, there was two older and two younger. So we'd tag team wrestle, and there would be one older sibling, one younger sibling. And we didn't know wrestling was fake. So we did beat the crap out of each other. I mean, like, we didn't know those chairs were designed to break like that. Ours weren't, but they still did.
Was there any point during that you can recall that one of you got a major injury that like is still a story that you guys talk about today?
Oh, stitches. Like, yeah, man. Like that's how it would end. Is like we would play until somebody cried. Like, don't come off.
I love it. Who were, you know...
But my mom was the instigator. She'd be like, you know, don't argue in the house. Go out into the pasture, beat the crap out of each other, and if you kill the other one, you have to drag the body back.
Jeez.
And if we were really misbehaving, she'd like, if we were close and arguing, she'd just smash our heads together. You know, that was the worst. I mean, she had a lot going on. I look back now, and I'm like, yo, mom. Kudos. You have four kids. That's a lot.
definitely.
So needless to say, I'm okay with violence and like having fun. And yeah, I'm an athletic woman and I love it.
Yeah. And so with that, I mean, you've been bodybuilding, as we mentioned during the intro. How long have you competed for?
So I actually just did my second competition.
Nice.
I did my first competition in 2015 and then had a lot of like ups and downs through life. I actually lost my brother to leukemia. I lost my father suddenly like a year later. My marriage didn't work out and, you know, I'm just starting over. And so last fall I said, screw it, I'm gonna do another competition just for me. I needed another, I don't know, challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
Life has challenged me enough. So if life challenges me a lot, I like to give life even a bigger challenge and distract myself from all the rest. So yeah, it was really fun. And actually, I'm making a documentary about it.
Yes.
We've done principal photography on it. We filmed the show date and we're doing the final interviews, a couple interviews, and starting post-production. So very excited about that. Curls for the Girls.
Yeah. For the listeners, it's called Curls for the Girls. And I watched the trailer and you really are letting your guard down and being so vulnerable, and letting people see this, you know, behind the scenes and what goes on.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot harder than I remembered. And it's a lot. It's a lot of dedication and it's a lot of vulnerability, but I'm okay with it. I think I needed to be at this point in my life, so
yeah, I mean, that's very admirable. B, the thing I would ask is for anyone out there who's listening who might have someone or themselves going through anything, what was it that got you to the point of, you know, hey, this happened, okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to take over now and I'm going to make, you know, myself get, you know, into something and, you know, try to strive for the goals here that I want to. What made you get that focus back? Was it a certain point? Did you reach out to someone? How did that come about?
So I'm going to be really real, the real deal right here. Actually, in 2014, I came to a point where I was suing an institution for childhood molestation, and the lawsuit was taking longer than I anticipated. It actually took 2.5 years to finalize everything.
Wow.
And we settled out of court, and it was way less than what I asked for, and I just needed it to be over because I actually came to the point where I was ready to jump off a bridge, and I was all by myself, and it was the bridge was, like, pretty high, but I'm a pretty strong swimmer, so I was like, well, you know, there's a chance I might still survive this. At least I'm giving myself a fighting chance, right? And then I realized how silly that was, and I was thinking about it, and I was, like, about to climb up, and I was like, that is ridiculous. If I'm going to give myself a real fighting chance, then let's, like, step down from here. And I realized in that moment I didn't want my life to end. I just wanted my life as I knew it to end, and I needed to stop living for other people and started to just really aligning myself with who I am and who I want to be. And I stopped being ashamed, you know, of my sexuality, and I stopped being afraid to be in my body. And there was a lot of challenges and changes, and that was 2014. And like I said, I did my bodybuilding competition the first time in 2015. So that was like a big thing to help me be safe in my body, was to, you know, overcome my eating disorders and, or at least work with them. They never go away, and that's something that I've learned as well. But you learn coping mechanisms. So fast forward, you know, brother passing away, dad passing away, marriage ending. I actually came to a point last year in September where, you know, the divorce was finalizing. I ended up losing my house. I've lost my car. I've lost my job. I had a job secured with the government for 9 years, and I just couldn't do it anymore. The 9-to-5 was just crushing my soul. But the last few years, I've really gotten into film. And even if it's unpaid and I'm volunteering and just working for food, I can't wait to be there.
Right.
So I've just pursued those things every day that I want to get out of bed and do. And in September last year, I ended up having just a really tough time and had a breakdown. And the police ended up knocking on my door and taking me in under a Form 10, which is an arrest for your own mental health and safety. And I went voluntarily, and I just didn't want to be there. I sat in the hospital for a few hours in a locked room, and I was really cooperative, so I didn't need to be, like, handcuffed or anything. I just was sad, and I just cried, and I was just ready to finally let go of everything. And I was at the point I still decided to live, and I wasn't suicidal at that time, but I could understand why people thought I was.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, this is it. And I lost my house, but I had a friend that let me stay with him for a while, and he actually just sold his house. So now I'm looking for another place to live. And, but, you know, in that time, I've been able to get back on my feet, and I'm the type of person, I don't want to just get back on my feet. I want to do a cool flip on the way. So I've kind of done that, and now I'm ready to start just doing whatever else. I don't know. I'm looking for a job right now, and just the possibilities are endless, and I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
You kind of have to go for it and live for you.
That's right.
And self-care. Self-care is huge.
Well, you know, and one of the things that I really have to say is, very cool to see is when you're posting Instagram photos and you're smiling. Because it captures something. It's like, you know, a lot of people, you see a smile and you just kind of go, okay, you know, they're happy, whatever. But, you know, with you, you know, you've got different looks. You got the tough look, you know, you got the, you know, the sensual look. But the smile is like, it captures your essence. And I think that's something to just keep striving and keep yourself happy, because it's great to see that reflection. And, you know, it really, again, is, you know, when you go through,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you go through these hard times, you know, we all, you know, I know we've, you know, at some point we've all had demons and things to deal with and shit going down. And I know I've been on the edge myself. You know, I've had no secrets with that. I've got huge anxiety myself. And yes, I do use marijuana. And I love
it. Oh, me too.
Because it
does. It lets you feel safe in your body.
Yep.
It's a cool feeling.
Yep. And it also, you know, something that I found too is there's that, you know, that the perceived conception of marijuana is you use marijuana, you become stoned, and then you get like giddy and goofy and hungry. And it's like, yeah, sometimes, but for the most part, it's like, you know, you can still.
If you
go ahead.
It depends how much you smoke.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to get to that point, you can, but if you don't, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, if you're, like you said, you're feeling more secure in yourself, and that anxiety kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've dealt with, you know, body issues forever, and, you know, I'm on the path of, you know, trying to take that back. Because it's, you know, I think you're right there. When you made a decision of, you know, starting anew to yourself, and, you know, that takes a lot of, for lack of a better word, balls, you know. And I think that's amazing. Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I hope that if anyone who is listening, you know, we've talked about eating disorders. We've talked
like
about
big lady balls.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that anyone listening, you know, if you do have these problems, please grow those lady balls and go after it. You know, go after what you're looking for in life that makes you happy.
Whatever you want, like literally, life is yours.
Yes.
Like people get so caught up making excuses for why they can't. And that was a big thing for me. It's like bodybuilding is super expensive. And like there was times last year where I wasn't able to work because of all my anxiety disorders and stuff like that. Yep. The 9 to 5, like I held on for a long time so that I would take periods of stress leave and then go back. And, you know, it was just killing me.
Yeah.
But there was periods of time where I couldn't afford to eat. So I was just volunteering on film sets that would feed me so that I could eat.
Yep.
But when you're bodybuilding, you have to have control over what you're eating at all times. And like, I actually ended up cashing out my pension from that job after I finally quit. I let go. I was able to take that option. I cashed out whatever non-transferable value there was, and that's what I funded my documentary with. So
yeah, wow, that's awesome. That is phenomenal.
Broke again, but I have this piece of art that I'm creating, and like I have, you know, hot body, and I have the confidence to know that, yeah, literally whatever you want to do, do it. It's, you know, it's amazing. I went to Melbourne, Australia, yeah, a few weeks ago, and that was really cool. All I was doing out there was just training. I hit the gym hard. It refreshed my mind. It was a nice change of pace, and like, I've never been that far away from home, so that was just really cool for me.
Australia is
but
one
if
of,
I hadn't,
it's one of the best.
Yeah, if I hadn't just said yes. Oh, it's so cool, and like the people were so cool. Like it was awesome. I would love to do an LFC fight down there. I'm gonna put that out there, and I think Melbourne would be really responsive to it. Actually,
ooh, we're gonna have to talk. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk to Sean about that one. That sounds interesting. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
They love fighting down there. Like, I went to local pubs and, like, watched fights a couple times.
And those weren't even sanctioned fights, right? In Australia, I know I've seen some pubs
where...
Well,
they were, like, Australian fighting leagues.
Oh, wow.
No. It wasn't live. I just, like, watched it on TV. But that would have been even more fun. Oh, so yeah. Fight league, let's do that.
Definitely. And so, Jen, you mentioned confidence, and you mentioned the LFC. Recently, you were in the news for throwing down the gauntlet and issuing a challenge to one of your countrymen to compete.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell the listeners about that challenge that you threw out there.
Well, Mr. Justin Bieber had challenged Tom Cruise to... to a cage fight, and called him out and said he'd never live it down if he didn't take on the challenge. And I thought, hey, well, if Tom Cruise doesn't want to fight you, I'll fight you if you want to fight.
Ooh.
So I issued that challenge. I still haven't heard anything. We've tried to contact his managers and stuff and see. I know Sean had said we'll make an exception for dress code for him if he required lingerie attire. Although,
that's funny.
I don't know about that. I think he should have to.
He should have to.
He
should have to don the lingerie.
I think so.
You know what? I think he'd probably be damn cute in lingerie. That's the weird thing.
I think he would be adorable. Yeah. And probably get a stronger fan base.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, it's 2019. Everyone's allowed to wear whatever they want as long as they're comfortable. And if you don't like it, don't look.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not affecting you. It's not your body. Stop looking at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're so sus, you weirdo. Ooh, you do like it. I know.
So basically what you're saying is that Justin Bieber needs to grow a set of those lady balls that we were just talking about.
I mean, we can compare who's their bigger after.
Hello. Jen's going to come back on the show. Oh, I ain't even done yet.
Right?
Well, let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned...
The Canadian on Canadian violence.
That's right. That's so awesome. You mentioned...
We'll be like, sorry after.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Vlog it out. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're training in Australia. You know, when you started training MMA... you know, how long have you been doing it now?
To be honest, not that long, like this year.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I'm looking for somebody. Like, I've just been kind of, I haven't been intensely training. Like, I haven't been through a full camp or anything. I've kind of just been winging it a little bit. But yeah, so I've been mostly focusing on the bodybuilding and getting fit, because actually last September, I was at 41% body fat, and I knew the LFC was coming up, so I needed to get in shape and get my cardio up and stuff like that. But as far as fighting experience, I don't have a lot of formal actual training, so I'm trying to look for opportunities and sponsorships and whatever to get some stuff going.
Yeah.
So...
And while you're training or bodybuilding, what kind of music do you listen to get in the zone?
So I have a very eclectic music taste. Whatever has a good beat and is fun, like, I'll listen to anything from country to, like, soca to reggae to, you know, some nice smooth jazz or, like, some inspiring, like, instrumentals. I don't know, like, whatever I feel into. And then, of course, like, the top 40 poppy hits and all sorts of, like, anything I can move my hips to, really. Because right. I do dance while I'm in the middle of sets. Like, I'm that gal.
Are you a huge Drake fan?
Am I a huge Drake fan? I like his music. Some of it. It's all right. Like, yeah, he's cool. He's a cool guy.
No, but Drake is,
I guess.
Drake is awesome.
I mean,
that's how you get your workout going.
Oh,
I'm going to recommend all 5 albums. This
Well, we know you are a huge fan of the purple one, Prince.
Yeah, I am.
Do you have a favorite Prince song or album?
I don't know. I like there's the classic Purple Rain, of course, but then I like Kiss and, you know, Raspberry Beret and just
yes.
cute songs like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say, Jen, is your favorite part of getting yourself back in shape, getting into the gym? Is there something that you just look forward to now? Because I know, you know, when I go through my cycles of, you know, total disillusionment and I lose focus and then I get back at it, there's certain things about it that my body and my mind just respond to. And I'm like, okay, this is why I liked doing this.
Well, it's just like that actual being in the gym, I have a lot of mental clarity. So yeah, my routine is I'll get stoned, super big, and then go lift.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
And when I'm lifting, I'm able to, like, close my eyes and I just feel my muscles, and it brings me to these moments of mental clarity. And I actually write a lot. I'm very creative. Like, I'll send out emails. I'm very productive. Like, if I have somebody that I've been, because sometimes I get into this space where I'm very afraid.
Yeah.
But when I'm in the gym, I'm very confident. I'm very in my body, in my element. And so those people that I've, you know, it's just stupid stuff. Like, sometimes I, like, just need to send an email to somebody to communicate something that's not a big deal, but it's just, I don't have the mental capacity to deal with it.
Right.
When I'm in the gym, I'm just able to deal with those things and, yeah, and find clarity. And those stoner thoughts are amplified and I write them down.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that, I totally relate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of creatives do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's, you know,
it sucks that I took so long to figure out I was a creative rather than, like, this logistic accountant.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing, and this is great that, you know, you're starting to get more involved in acting and doing production stuff and trying to do film and whatnot, because you lived a full life's chapter that,
true,
you know, before you even got to this phase of your life, you have so much experience and so many things to look back on that makes you more of a creative soul, because you now have stuff to draw from. And if, you know, it's amazing. And that's something that you should be proud of. I know that a lot of times we look back and we go, you know, man, I fucked this up, or this person was really just a fucking piece of shit in my life, etc.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and I don't owe them anything, and, like,
yep.
That's a them. I'm able to identify a lot when people, like my thing is like, you know, you should own your shit and eat your shit. You know why? Because yeah. Then you know what your shit tastes like.
Yep.
And when other people try to throw their shit on you, you know that's not your flavor, and you can put it back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what your shit tastes like enough to know when other people are trying to make you taste their shit.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a them problem. It's okay to help them eat their shit sometimes, but at least acknowledge that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and it helps. Like, I think it helps too. You can easily more identify a person who is absolutely full of shit because of that fact.
And like the people that have your best, their best, or your best interests at heart versus the people that are just there to scam everybody. Like, they don't even have their best interests at heart at that point, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, where are you looking right now? When you get the film going and you start reaching out, where are you looking to take it? Are you looking at putting it into festivals at first? Or how are you approaching it?
Festivals for sure. And then I'll go, like, distributors. I'm planning on going down to the American Film Market myself to sell it and, you know, make the connections, meet the people, do the film market route, and probably use a sales agent. I'll see.
Yeah.
See how I'm feeling. And
recently LFC signed an agreement to do a miniseries, and you're going to be a part of that, right? Tell us about that experience.
Gladiatrix.
That's right.
Yeah. Very excited to be a part of Gladiatrix, especially based on the novel Crescent Moon.
Nice.
By Cynthia Vest, I think is her name. Is that correct? Maybe you have to double check that. But it's based on the novel Crescent Moon. And originally Sean adapted it into, like, he wrote it as a script for a feature film. And then it's just like the longest feature film ever. The financiers are like, this is actually great, let's just keep writing and make this whole six series mini series. And so we start shooting the pilot in the fall, and I'll be involved as an actor and a crew member of sorts. Not officially announced, so I won't be able to reveal what that is, but I'm very excited about the position, and it's going to be a challenge, and I'm really excited about some of my coworkers and a lot of creatives that I've worked with on other projects that I really trust and really like. So it'll be a really fun set to be involved with.
Are you?
And that'll be shooting in Drumheller, Alberta, and Calgary, Alberta.
There you go.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, so you'll be shooting in Canada plus in Vegas. Such a contrast, right? You can go from the hot to the cold. Let me ask you this.
Well, actually, in Drumheller, there are the Canadian Badlands, where they find all the dinosaur fossils. Drumheller is known for all of our dinosaurs. That's where they all are. That's why it's oil country, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oil made out of... So, yeah, it's really cool. And all the land down there is very deserty in parts. So we'll be able to film down there and have the look of the, you know, the Colosseums and stuff, like Spartacus, but women. Pretty a great recipe.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome. You said you were a world traveler when we first started. You know, is there a favorite city or state that you've been to, or country, in your travels?
This might actually sound like fucking up, but I've been to Vegas over a dozen times. Like, I love Vegas. It's a party, and it's fun every time, and I've gone down there for, like, 2 weeks at a time or 2 days at a time, and it's great either way, and both are different experiences, but I adore it.
Yeah.
I really do. Hawaii is also beautiful. I mean, Australia was great. I unfortunately haven't left North America other than like that. I've been to Mexico. That was pretty cool. Jamaica. It's all right. I didn't explore it as much as I could have. But yeah, I don't know. Vegas is just, it's like coming home. It's like my second home for me.
Yeah, there's really something for everybody. I remember this one time before I moved here, I was driving and I turned off of the strip, and it was one of those smaller streets. And I watched this guy walk across the street with a beer in his hand, a cigar in the other hand, and he was, you know, a homeless person. But I was like, wow, even in...
living his best life.
Desperate times, he was living his best life. Yeah, it's an amazing place to be.
Totally.
Because you can work your 9 to 5 or whatever you do, and then the nighttime, everything comes alive. You know, there's pool parties and just all kind of stuff.
Well, and you can have a life in Vegas that's like has nothing to do with the Strip, and that's how most locals live. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
People are like, oh, wait, there's a city outside. Like, last time I was there, I was in a store. I think it was, I don't even remember. It was just a clothing store. And there's this kid in there with, like, one of those dumbass big cocktail drinks. So I'm like, yeah. And he's, like, walking around the store. It's my birthday! And the cashier's, like, looking at me like, oh, my God, kill me, please. And I was like, people don't realize, like, the Strip isn't everywhere in Vegas. She's like, I know. She's like, people think I, like, fly in for work every day. Like, no, I live here, dude.
Well, that's, you know what, that's a very, very good point, because the, well, the communities here are so, you know, it's just like, you know, a total different feel, and then you go on the Strip, and you just see that, I guess for the lack of a better word, that 23-year-old hormone that is the Strip, because it's just one pulsating, just booze and sex, and that's what the Strip sells.
Well, I mean, Kate, here's the thing that a lot of people don't know the history of Vegas. It's founded by Mormons, and then the mob gets involved, and they're like, we're taking this. And then the Mormons like, okay, you just do your thing. We're going to do our thing. We're cool. Nobody else wants us. Like, we're cool. And then, they all just look the way on, you know, sexual sins. So everything, like, Las Vegas is born, Sin City. It's fun. It's like the contrast, and everybody's willing to just look the other way because they're all just doing their own things that nobody should know about.
Right. Which is actually kind of scarier now that you put it in those terms.
What's the, let me ask you this. What's the most unique thing you've done since you've been here? Have you taken in, like, the Mob Museum or things like that?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I've been to, like, Lake Las Vegas. Yeah,
nice.
Hiking. Word of advice to anybody wondering if they should do a Grand Canyon tour from Las Vegas. Don't ever take a tour group bus. That is a lesson I had to learn the hard way.
Tell us why.
5 hours one way.
Ooh. Oh.
On that bus. The bus driver controls what you're watching.
Oh.
And he's watching what he wants to watch.
Right.
Like, rip-off recordings. I don't know. It was so funny. And, like, but actually, one of the best moments, like, the Grand Canyon is beautiful, don't get me wrong, way too touristy where we were. Rent a car, go exactly where you want to go. It's a big place.
Yeah.
Go to where the tour bus don't go. But it was cool all in all. I mean, I saw the Grand Canyon. It was pretty grand. so the bus driver made it very clear where we were all getting picked up. But, of course, one couple gets lost. So we go over to them, and we pick them up. And then they're walking down the aisle. And this is, like, it's already too long of a day. And now we're not getting back till, like, after 11:30 p.m.
Oh,
meanwhile, this day starts at 6 a.m. Don't ever take a tour bus. A couple gets on, and they start walking down the aisle, and I don't know if anybody here is a Game of Thrones fan, but they start to crowd shame.
No way!
We're killing ourselves.
Wow.
Like, six people start doing it. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
So that was a highlight, but I mean, other than the Grand Canyon. Or do the helicopter flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I haven't done that yet.
Definitely.
Next time.
So obviously, we've talked about your affinity for a certain herb. How do you like to take that? Do you like to smoke it? Do you like edibles? Do you like any of the oils or the topicals? What do you do?
Yes.
She's like, yes on all of them. I want them all. Give them to me. Especially since it's legal out here.
Right answer.
Actually, that was one of the hardest things about traveling for me. In the last year, like, I've been very lucky. Vancouver, it's been easy to get for like ages. They, right. you know, used to have before legalization, it was like a bucket. It's like the trimmings. It was like indica or sativa, $5 a gram. Of course, you could get whatever you wanted, like the regular. But I was like, no, man, give me the bucket weed.
Yeah, seriously,
$5 a gram.
Yeah,
take that sativa bucket, like the whole thing. Just lay it out. Just kidding. But and they had like vending machines for a while too. Like it was crazy. You go into a store, which is a vending machine set up with like a row, and I don't know, it's cool. But then, you know, Vegas has been legalized for a while, California. You drive across the border and you drive down the coast, you can just pick up in Washington and keep going. It's great.
Right. Yep.
Such a beautiful drive.
Yeah.
And but when I went to Australia, drugs are expensive there and very hard to get.
Yep.
That was tough. And like I managed to get a couple little nugs from the local pub, of course. he's like, smell it, it's so good. And like I'm like looking at these shriveled up little nugs and I'm like, ah. And he's like, yeah, it's so fluffy, it's such nice weed. And like you don't want to tell people like this is shit weed because it's like, thank you so much for giving
me. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like, yeah, it's so good. It's like, dude, I like get BC bud on the regular, but like it's cool. But I was so grateful because I actually flew straight to Los Angeles from there. I was going to the Cinegear Expo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So as soon as I landed, I got a hot water hotel. I ended up in Long Beach and I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'm staying here for a couple days. I'm like, got one of those stupid scooters. I had a great day.
Yes. You know what?
It was an adventure.
You know what's crazy? I just went home. I'm from LA and I just went home this past weekend. Actually, 4th of July, I was there, and I noticed scooters everywhere. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, it's Scooterville now.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming. They've just been approved to come to Canada. Like,
no way.
Calgary, and I think Vancouver. And I'm like, oh, people don't really, because they are a nuisance. I, like, love them, but I'm glad they're not in my city. But now that they're coming, I'm like, oh, but I still love them. I'm like, they're still awesome, but they're terrible. But yeah, they're fucking everywhere.
Well, let me ask you before we wrap up, where can people find you at? You know, like on your social medias and things like that.
So I use Instagram the most. It is jen.rep. So JENNREPP. I also have a Facebook fan page, Jen Rep, and I have the Curls for the Girls page as well, so you can keep up to date if you want to. Or for that, I'm building a website right now, so that'll be up, but the details will be on my Instagram soon. And then I'm also starting a YouTube channel, because I've got a 360 camera on its way. I'm going to start making travel videos of that.
Oh,
I'm very excited.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah.
Well, Jen, let me ask you this. Any events you have coming up?
Any events?
Any events that you want to promote so everyone could come see you do what you do.
So in Las Vegas next month, I believe it's August 15th, we've got LFC 30, as far as I know, is happening.
There it is.
The promo should start coming out very soon. And other than that, stay tuned. I've got a lot of stuff in the works. Nothing I can fully say right now, but very exciting stuff, and I can't wait to share it all with you. And of course, Curls for the Girls. Keep up with that.
We will. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
I can't wait to
talk to you guys again.
We definitely.
Yeah. You are awesome. Here's some applause for you.
You're awesome.
The crowd loves you.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone, that's Jen Rep.
Vegas. Bad Boys of Podcasting. Holding you down since day one. January 2019.
The podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys Day One. Say
different, thoughts, outrageous,
interview,
exciting,
interesting,
intriguing,
amazing,
funny, intergalactic,
Bad Boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Al Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
My way of giving back to the community, yeah. You know, let me tell you. It's like, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da.
Like, oh my God, I do it. Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle into my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, like, you know. But, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. Be Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror and Terry's, you know, spanking his woody on top of the back of Coco's ass. With his pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely, in our minds, a Hall of Famer. Because
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio, or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a right bathroom. Yeah, we're in a bathhouse. We're
in a bathtub.
You're in a bathhouse. Yeah.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's the preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted at the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
But in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live events. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.